What is going on, A to Z Media family? Back here with another episode with the Jedi from Bronx Sports Jedi. Big Ten champions. We did it. We did it. We did it. We did it. Routed Iowa 42-3. Jim Harbaugh breaks through. What a day it is to be a Michigan football fan. Kev, what are your thoughts before we get into it? First, just initial reactions from this blowout game nobody saw coming.
Congratulations to Michigan Nation, Big Blue Nation. You guys got your Big Ten championship onto the BCS playoff for the first time since the BCS has implemented. Phenomenal game all around. Salute to all those young men that put the hard work since the first, all those years being recruited. Just phenomenal opportunities for these young men, college memories that are going to last a lifetime. Salute. Good job there. All around phenomenal beatdown. They had a mission since beating. You already beat Ohio State. It wasn't a letdown. They kept the pedal, the foot on the pedal, and phenomenal game. Victory for the city, for the whole Michigan Nation. You guys earned it. Celebrate it. Enjoy it. And wow, let's go right to the rice and beans. Congratulations again to you, Zach. I know you're a big Wolverines fan and all Big Blue Nation.
Man, unranked coming into this season, projected to be the fourth in the Eastern Big Ten East standings to the end, to end up being number two in the nation, going up against 13 Iowa, which congratulations to Iowa for winning the West. I mean, they had a great season, even though, they have two losses. We're at one point, we're in the top three in the nation. Good football team, great defensive team. They deserve every right to be here, so congratulations to them for winning the West. But, oh, my God, if you would have told me that this would have happened in the beginning of the year, I wouldn't have believed you. I mean, I'm going to eat my crow right here happily because I was a huge Michigan pessimistic fan after all these years. But Jim Harbaugh finally breaks through with this team. I mean, this is a perfect Jim Harbaugh-style team. Where they just run down your throat. I mean, and they have a quarterback who makes all the right throws. Cade McNamara reminds me a lot of Jim Harbaugh as a quarterback. Just nothing flashy, but can make all the throws. Gritty guy, good locker room guy, good leader. Man, just what a team. I mean, 211 yards rushing, 250 yards passing, so 461 yards of offense against a really good Iowa football team. 75-yard bomb from Edwards, the freshman running back. I mean, they were doing everything today. They pulled out all the stops on offense, and it didn't look pretty at times. Sometimes they stalled out pretty quick. They had a lot of bad field position inside the 10-yard line a few times, but man, they fought, and man, they fought, and man, they fought. Had a blocked punt. They won on all three facets of the game, all three levels of the game tonight. Your guy, as you remember in our last stream, that our punter, you said he was going to have a big impact, and man, did he ever with that 61-yard punt at the end, towards the end of the game there. What are your thoughts on your punter since you predicted it perfectly?
Yeah, I said, he averaged 5 punts and he averaged 51 yards total per punt, his average.
Mm-hmm.
Changing the field, the position, changing, yeah. Impacting that on special teams, and like you said, if you able to dominate and play really well on all three levels, wow, that phenomenal. And they just time of possession as well. They had 20 first downs. Mm-hmm. They were efficient. 40% for they were 40% rating on third down conversions, 4 out of 10. What can you say? Oh, you know, they were their penalties okay. It was 4 penalties for 50 yards. You know, they also they didn't have any fumbles. You know, even though Iowa had the turnover, they threw an interception. Michigan had 2 turnovers though. You have to play better on that. But as you know, what can you complain when you hold the team to 3 points? I mean, a perfect game. The only good thing you could say is the interceptions. But like you said, one of those interceptions really wasn't the quarterback's fault. It was more the receivers had the ball in his hands. It just came out of his hands in unfortunate circumstances. But
and the second interception was end of the half, Hail Mary heave. I mean, both of them didn't matter, to be honest. They played a good football game, and the Cade McNamara interception, they ended up not giving up points off of it. So, they didn't give up a touchdown. I mean, 3 points all game. I know Iowa was offensively limited. We talked about it in our last video when we previewed this game, but – man, only 3 points, and they averaged 25 points a game on the season. I mean, you can't ask for anything better, Kev. It was a wire-to-wire win. I mean, starting out, marching down the field and scoring. I mean, and I got the team stats here. On first downs, Michigan had 21 first downs, like you said, to Iowa's 15. Third down efficiency, 4 for 10. I'd like to see a little bit better on that, but 5 for 19 from Iowa. Fourth down efficiency, they're both 0 for 1. 461 yards of Michigan offense to 279 for Iowa. Like we started, 250 passing yards and 211 rushing yards to 104 rushing yards and 175 rushing yards from Iowa. Penalties, pretty even. 4 for 50 yards for Michigan, 5 for 55 yards for Iowa. They won the turnover battle 2-1, but like we said, those turnovers didn't really amount to much. In time of possession, Iowa actually won by 3 minutes, 31-39 compared to 28-21. So, I mean, just dominating performance and – you know, thanks to everybody who's tuning in. We got 132 likes so far. I mean, I guess all the Michigan fans are really hyped up today because we posted this a while early. And up to 53 subscribers from 19 from last video. So thank you guys. And I hope you continue to share this video. And hopefully, if you're watching this for the first time, you can go like and subscribe to the channel. And you can also check out Bronx Sports Jedi Network. He's got a lot of great stuff. And why don't you tell them where they can find you before we keep going?
Yeah, BX Sports Jedi Network YouTube channel. We're also on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, BX Sports Jedi Network, and everywhere. And also you can find us on audio platforms. We'll have this on audio platform as well for those that are still partying late and they want to hear the recap or our opinions. Tomorrow will be on Spotify, Anchor FM, all the Google Podcasts, everywhere you get your podcasts, this program and along with the Jedi Network will be on there. So thank you guys for supporting A to Z Media Network, part of the BX for Jedi Network family. And we'll just keep growing, bringing you good content and growing. And just this is from a fan to the fans. We're all fans of these teams and of all the sports. And we're just, you know, talking about it. And just because we love it and we have fun and we enjoy the passion of all sports, all different avenue, and not just Michigan football. Dallas Cowboy football in general as well, New York basketball, New York Yankees, Mets, and MMA, combat sport fighting. That's what we covered.
Yeah. Thanks, Steve. Yep. No problem. Kev does great watch-alongs. I join him on some of them. So just go check him out, man. It's free, and it's a lot of fun. So with that being said, man, I don't even know where this is. I'm so happy. I mean, I have a plan for this show, but then like a game like this is just like, man, you could talk forever. But I wanted to touch on Edwards, the freshman running back here, Donovan Edwards, freshman. Wow. I mean, he had one of the weirdest stat lines today, but very impactful. So running the ball, only 3 carries for 1 yard, but he had a touchdown. He had that, you know, goal line score, receiving 3 catches for 20 yards. But passing, 1 for 1, he had a 75-yard touchdown on a bomb, a beautiful throw from the freshman running back. To Wilson, man, and on the trick play, he could have put that ball anywhere, to be honest. He was so wide open because of the trickery, but, man, he threw it on a dime, led him perfectly. What are your thoughts on the freshman running back tonight?
Impactful and totally caught everyone off guard. No way, no how. When Iowa game plan with film, they did not expect the freshman to come out of nowhere. I kept rookie because I'm used to the pros. So the freshmen came out of nowhere, that trickery, and what a pass. You know, you're not called for that. You're not practicing all the time throwing, but when you got the opportunity, that's clutch. And he's a freshman, and that's exciting. If you're Michigan going into the future, that's a great confidence builder as well, with experience. And you know that you have someone there that the game might not be too big for them coming next season. He's been here, done that, and okay, it's gonna be like second nature. You gotta be excited for that young man going forward there. A phenomenal game there on him. I love that Harbaugh and his offensive coordinator came up with that trickery. Mm-hmm. And Coy was perfect. Beautiful throw. Execution, the game plan was phenomenal on there. You know, and then the other home run, you know, he had J.J. McCarty just came out and just had that nice run to one thing, though, I wanted to say, though, that really set the tone in this game, Z, was when the Iowa kicker missed that 30-plus yard field goal. Yeah. He hanged it to the right, and Iowa looked really good. When I saw that, I was like, uh-oh. You know, because Iowa was moving the ball. They were rolling out short passes. The tight end had a good start to the game for Iowa. And Michigan was probably caught a little bit on their heels a little bit. And that missed field goal changed the whole momentum of the game there. Yeah. You know, and from there on, Michigan went ahead and didn't look back.
Yeah. And if I could touch, too, on the Edwards throw, he had gloves on, too. And for him to set his feet like that with gloves on and make it just perfect mechanics with his throw, quick release. I mean, my God, he had the best throw of the night. Yeah, like as far as like for a running back, I mean, ridiculous. But like you said, I mean, it looked like they had the momentum early. They were moving the ball. They stopped us the first possession. Then they're, you know, three and out, and then they're moving the ball. And I thought, no, we got to get it together quick. And then, like you said, they missed that field goal, and then we marched down the field, and the rest was history after that. But, I mean, wow, just what a complete game. And then, of course, you had a J.J. McCarthy brought he didn't do a whole lot throwing the football, 1 for 3, of course. But, you know, running the football, you had, you know, 6 yards of carry on 4 carries. And he opened up Blake Corum for a 67-yard touchdown run. That was the first score of the game. Blake Corum looked to be healthy coming off that injury, Kev. I mean, he back into the flow of this offense, and him and Haskins together, I mean, they're going to be a nasty duo come college football playoff time.
Yeah, that absolutely, you know, and just because this game is over, it's not over. There's one more mission. There's one more game. We shall see. We'll get one more. We'll do one game at a time right now. You don't want to touch the money, you know. You know, you don't touch the money. We'll take it one step at a time.
Yep.
Z, but we'll I don't know if you want to get into that. If you want to keep elaborating on this game, it's on your call there.
Of course. I just meant like as far as it's a good momentum. You know, Blake Corum still only 5 carries. He's not. You know, they're not overworking him just yet coming back from that injury. But showing that burst and that 67-yard touchdown run showed that he's back to his old ways. And with him, it just shows like Haskins, of course, dominated the running game, dominated against Ohio State. But it shows just how much more deadly we are when you have the change of pace guy and Blake Corum back out there. And it's just great all around game from this offense. And just wow. I mean, I don't know what else I can say. This is just a beautiful game. And so since we touched on the running game and we touched on everybody, let's go to the quarterback, man. Number 12, wearing Tom Brady's number with pride, Cade McNamara. Not again, a game where this interception wasn't his fault, but another game where the stats didn't look the prettiest, right? 16 for 24, 169 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. But the guy made every throw that he needed to make. I mean, in the cover 2, you know, in that honey hole, they call it, where he threw that ball to, and then that back shoulder fade to Eric All. I mean, he made some gorgeous throws tonight, Kev. Do you see – two-part question for you. One, I want you to elaborate a little bit on a game tonight. And number two, I want you to say, what does this do for him going forward? Like, you know, has he shown enough for them to possibly give him a little bit more of a leash, let him open up a little bit more in the next game?
Well, it all depends on the matchup. We will find out tomorrow who if they do have another game, if they're – going into the BCS playoff scenario, which I think I don't see why not. They were a high ranked league team and they won their conference. We're safe to say they will be in there, but who their opponent is and what neutral site, where if it's an outdoor or elements, if it's going to be an indoor stadium, all that has to factor. an element of surprise. You want to, you know, the kid has a strong arm. We saw him against Ohio State throwing some real good ball in a snowstorm, you know, in inclement weather. Phenomenal. Today, you know, he threw some really good passes to the tight end. You know, the tight ends, both tight ends, all. And it was a
Schoonmaker. Yep. Schoonmaker.
Both tight ends were very impactful. It's nice to see when you get an offense involving both tight ends in there. And as well, you know, and to see him throwing those, he was throwing those shots, those right through a window. Right? And I know he's seen a throw right between a cover two, between the high safety. Phenomenal in stride. And he's got an arm. A good game manager. You don't want to put, you know, it went with that offensive line and that running game that they have, versatile running game. He's perfect quarterback because you don't need to put the whole entire game on his shoulders. But when he's asked to make the call to make the throws and plays, you could count on him that he could execute it, and he has the arm and the accuracy to make those throws. See?
Yeah, and it's, yeah, like you said too, and also it doesn't seem like any moment's too big for him. Like every test he passes, every test with flying colors for me. Just, you know, and it's amazing that Flea Flickers worked 2 weeks in a row, because Iowa had to watch the film from the Ohio State game. They had to know that was coming, and they weren't ready for it. And just, wow, just amazing game from Cade McNamara, even though the numbers don't show a whole lot. But as far as the defense goes, man, Aiden Hutchinson with another game, another sack, great against the run and the pass, got the guys up, was a great leader today, making a case for a trip to New York to be a Heisman finalist as a defensive player, Kev. And he won the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. Just great year for Aiden Hutchinson. Good decision on him to decide to come back, because he's going to be a top three pick in the draft.
Oh, yeah. He earned himself a couple more million dollars just to return him. And what a phenomenal impact. He broke his father's record tonight, his parents in attendance. You know, he's going to go to the Heisman Trophy consideration in New York, and maybe the city that might draft him. I'll tell you one thing. There's a lot of picks that if he doesn't go with one New York team, the other New York team, because they're going to be picking the top three to seven. They're going to own that real estate. So if he gets past the first three picks, he will be calling the Big Apple home for whichever New York team it is. But you can see him there, the way he was very impactful, a really good. Like you said, he called that run blitz. He did the same thing. He called the audible, like you told me, with the Ohio State game. He did it on this game as well. You know, yep. Good observation on that. You pointed that out, and you see that the intangibles he puts on the floor, on the field. Phenomenal, phenomenal job there. You know, the young man, I think the young man is going to be an impactful player in the second level going into the pros.
Yeah, just a great all around defensive effort led by him and John Ross and all the captains. Even Jeter got in for a play at the end, but all of them. I mean, they flew to the football, tackled extremely well, pressured the quarterback extremely well. Aiden Hutchinson only had one sack, but I mean, they can't say how many hurries he had or pressures, because he had a lot. He was active. David Njaba was active. I mean, they called every blitz correctly. I mean, it was from the young 34-year-old defensive coordinator. That came from Baltimore. Mr. Harbaugh's brother gave him to us. Thank you. Thank you, John. But a great defensive effort all through and through. I mean, Daxton Hill had the big pass interference early, and a big call against him. Didn't really hurt us, and he came back and had a really good game. I mean, just everybody on the defensive end of the field just did extremely well tonight. I mean, there's nothing you can say that's bad about the team when you give up 3 points against the 13th ranked team in the nation. Just great defensive effort, Kev.
Yeah, phenomenal. Phenomenal defensive effort. And that's what the Hotbogs, both John and Jim, they both are known for, their defense, their grittiness, you know, and hard worker. And the team reflect, you know, they say your team reflects on your on the identity of the head coach. And you saw it tonight. You saw it there, you know, and you never felt that Iowa, even when it was at 14-3 when it went to the half, it was still a close game there. You still didn't feel that Michigan was in trouble. They looked like they were in a driver's seat, and it felt like a wire. You know, after that field goal kick missed, you felt that whole momentum was all Michigan all night, and you know that they were in the driver's seat, and that's what you want to see. And I like the fact that, I know people say, well, why you score while you're making it beautiful, while you're running up the score, but when you have a BCS committee that looks at all that nonsense, and if you're putting a 42 and you're holding the opponent to 3 on your conference championship game, it's gonna mean volumes. What I mean in seeding, you know, hopefully they get a good seeding. Maybe they might jump to the number one slot, be the number one team in the nation. There's a possibility on that because you held your team to 3 points in your conference championship game, and you also put 42 points yourself. So it'll be interesting to see tomorrow if they rank number one, and maybe they'll get, let's say, just for argument's sake, a number four Cincinnati if they get in there, or number four Notre Dame, you know, against Michigan. And I'm thinking they're gonna want a rematch between Alabama and Georgia, 2 and 3, you know, on there, and so then winner plays either the Michigan and whoever the team X, because everyone thought Oklahoma State had a name in the hat, but they fell to Baylor today. Cincinnati took care of business; they 35-24 over Houston. So they also want to put their name in the hat. Notre Dame is under, you know, 11-1. They finished their season. And they also, you know, even though they're an independent, but will the committee give them consideration? You know, although we've seen them in the past few years have done a terrible job in the playoff series, you know, getting totally outclassed and outplayed when they had the opportunity. Maybe they want to see fresh blood there in the AAC conference, or you know, we don't know. We don't know what the committee thinks. Well, it'll be interesting to see if they want to try something different. Just give another team from another conference an opportunity into this playoff system, or you know, won't be surprised. I'm gonna go on a limb. I wouldn't surprise me if they leave Georgia or one of those ACC teams out and SEC team out, and they bring, you know, who knows, shake things up. But I don't think so. I think they'll put both Georgia and Alabama in there.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't surprise me if this year one of them isn't. But who knows.
Yeah, just a touch real quick. It was just broke. Aiden Hutchinson won Big Ten Championship MVP, so congratulations to him. We all knew it was coming. He deserved it, every bit of it. I might have gave some consideration to Donovan Edwards, but, you know, regardless, Donovan Edwards only made a few huge plays, even though they were great plays, but Aiden Hutchinson did it all game. But congrats to Aiden Hutchinson and Jim Harbaugh and everybody. As far as this playoff thing goes, you can't take Cincinnati out because they took care of business day against Houston in their conference championship game, and Notre Dame didn't have a conference championship game. So that's what, you know, if Cincinnati would have lost, then absolutely Notre Dame was getting in. But how I see it is, I think Alabama, they're going to give them the number one, and they're going to give Georgia number four. But we get to the same thing, the rematch between Alabama and Georgia. And Michigan and Cincinnati are going to play each other. So it's going to be, you know, a great college football playoff, as far as I'm concerned. But I mean, if you get Cincinnati versus Michigan, you really got to take care of business. They haven't beaten anybody. They beat Notre Dame. That's about it. But no offense to Notre Dame, but I'm saying Notre Dame's kind of overrated. Michigan should take care of business there, but hopefully they do. And then if they do, and they get to winner Alabama and Georgia, that's going to be a national championship game of the last couple of years, man. That's going to be one for the books. It's going to be a classic.
Let me tell you this. Let me throw another wrinkle. You think they'll want to upset a little bit of the apple cart, and somehow, some way, since Alabama just beat Georgia, have Alabama play Michigan and Georgia play Cincinnati, or so they could. So their national title game will be the two SEC teams. You know, their darling matchup, because it'll draw more eyeballs, which I personally, to be honest with you, after, you know, and those that are listening to me on the podcast as well here tonight or going to watch this in the replay, I'm not a college football fan, savant. I'm here to watch college football because, we've had a watch along with Z, and I do know the college football game, but I'm not a fan of Michigan. So I wanted to be totally despair and be honest, and I'm not a Michigan fan, but I'm happy for Michigan to win. But be honest with you, from the feedback that I've seen in a couple of weeks, Michigan has a lot of eyeballs. That was the point I wanted to get to. There's a lot of ratings. There are a lot of eyeballs. You know, I know Alabama would draw eyeballs, but I think Michigan fans, I think you guys, Michigan fans, are a little bit more
deserving.
More deserving. No, you back up your teams more, better than the Georgia Bulldogs. I think there's more fan. The fan base is much stronger in Michigan than Georgia. And I think if you look at that consideration by rating wise, I think an Alabama, Georgia, Alabama and Michigan title game for national championship game on that Monday night will be a ratings galore, darling. So,
yep. Let's not forget Michigan's the number one most. They have the most wins in college football history. The winningest program, 900. I mean, I think it's 980 wins now. But it's as far as that goes, you know, they have one of the largest fan bases ever. We've just been a sleeping giant because we haven't been this successful in a long, long time. So, I mean, first Big Ten championship since 2004, and that even that was shared with Iowa. Ironically, we shared the Big Ten championship in the BCS days. Now that it's the CFP days, we haven't been a Big Ten champion since the college football playoff was born. But it's the right time. If it was Alabama, Michigan, that would probably be the most watched college football playoff of all time. That would probably break records. And if that happens, I mean, I'm probably 99% sure that would be the highest rated college football game.
Just think of the storyline. You got Nick Saban, Jim Harbaugh, you know, the story, you know, right now Alabama of this early part of the century, the darling franchise of college football, you know, with Saban winning, and now you got Harbaugh, you know, he was brought to Michigan for this. Michigan jumped the first hurdle and beating Ohio State, and now they jumped the second hurdle, winning their conference championship for the first time, you know, since they went to this new format now, and also being in the BCS playoff. Let's say not to touch the money. They say they win that playoff appearance, and now they're in the finals against Alabama. That's a dream season. Michigan fans, that's a dream season. You know. And you got to pinch yourself, but it's real. It's real, guys. And your team is playing well. Remember, I'm an independent person looking at it. And I remember Z was nervous with the Ohio State game, you know, and rightfully so. You know, you know, it's like, you know,
you understand. 10 years.
It's been a long time. And I had that feeling. And I'm an independent. And I said, no, you'll be fine. I think you're going to win that. I think I like the way you guys are going to play. And then I told you the big omen when I saw it was the snow. I said, you know what? Snowing, if Ohio State plays this way and the elements, they weren't expecting snow. And then when I saw, you know, McNamara throw those balls down, and I'm like, yo, your quarterback has an arm. He's making the throw in the incoming weather. And he's got the moxie. You'll be fine. And the more the game kept going on, and you were like, I don't know. I remember that Ohio State game. I was like, no, you guys got it. You got to win. And then you're like, holy crap, you're right. You know, Then Iowa, you were telling me, you know, they're not a good offensive team, you know, and they're fast paced, but not offensive juggernaut. But they were stingy and they were really defensive juggernaut. You know, they were really good defensively. And
hang 42 on them things.
Yes. And then slowly but surely you killed them. You know, it wasn't that you were, you know, and the thing is, the scary part, you scored 42 points and guys wasn't really that on high cylinder either. You know, you fought. Those 42 points were well-deserved, hard fought as a team effort. You know, you had trickery in there. Yes, you had some running, good running. But the point is you had to do it in all different assets of the game and get those 42 points. But that's a good thing because everyone's involved. And it shows that it's a collective unit going into, you know, that your playoff appearance. You know, everyone needs to be involved if you want to make it win. And that's good because you see everyone's on the same page, all for one for all. Yeah. And going forward, you got to be excited again. You got to be excited. Good things are coming. Good things continue to grow.
I'm still waiting to wake up from my dream, man. It's a dream season. Like I told you, and Michigan fans will back me up on this. I know it doesn't sound right, but as soon as we beat Ohio State, a lot of us are going to want more. Like myself, wants more. But at the same time, we're like, we got the monkey off our back. Wow. Like what? And then you're cautiously optimistic about this game, and they blow out Iowa, Big Ten champions, a college football playoff appearance for the first time in Michigan history. I know they have national championships, but again, the college football playoff has only been around less than a decade. So, you know, big appearance. You know, whatever happens from this point on, I want to say this. I am proud of my Michigan Wolverines. I am proud of the way they fought, the way they've built this season. I am damn proud of Jim Harbaugh. That's my head coach. proud of Cade McNamara as my quarterback. And J.J. McCarthy is the change of pace quarterback. And you got Corum and Haskins. And you got All and Wilson. And a guy that gets lost in all this is Bell, Ronnie Bell, the junior, coming back for his senior season, thank God. But he had a bad injury, season-ending injury, the first game of the season. Guys like that stayed around the team, leaders. Aiden Hutchinson came back to beat Ohio State. You know, Hassan Haskins came back. I mean, all these guys just had one goal in mind, was to beat Ohio State. And then as soon as that happened, Harbaugh said pregame, and you could tell right away. He said you could see the smile on their faces for 24 hours, then business. Yeah. And it's that right there is when you know you have a championship caliber team. I'm not saying they're going to win the national championship. I don't, like you said, take it week game by game, quarter by quarter, half by half. I don't want to go that far. But the fact that you have that mentality, you can come out here and play even better. You still score the same amount of points, 42, but you play even better against Iowa, shows you're ready for that next step, that you're a championship caliber team. So this isn't just a one-year darling. I think they've set themselves up for the next 5 years of just not Big Ten dominance, because they could still lose a close game to Ohio State, or they could still, but sustained excellence and sustained ability to contend for championships going forward. Kev, this isn't just a flash in the pan, I don't think.
Right. It'll be interesting tomorrow night at 7 o'clock when the committee announces the final four, and location, time, and dates. We're all going to be tuning in keeping an eye on that, and hopefully we're ready to comment. We'll probably come out on a quick podcast and talk about that and what we expect, what date it is. If it's going to be New Year's Eve, or it's going to be, you know, when is it they're going to play this game, and speculate and see, and if right, wrong, or endeavor, have our opinions on that. Can't wait to see that. All eyeballs will be there tomorrow evening on that. And you say it's not over, Michigan. There's still more football. There is still more football, you know, for your team in Ann Arbor. And, of course, the big house is closed, you know, for the season. It's not going to be more games in the big house, all neutral side games from here on out. But you managed to win the big one at Ann Arbor. You closed the season out well, beating that Ohio State. Now you go, you know, you're taking baby steps, one step at a time, but not these baby steps. These baby steps are giant steps, because your team and your program, you know, the program is growing. Now it can keep the boosters at ease now on Harbaugh. You know, one thing is you want stability in your program. You want stability, and you want to set a culture. I know you said, oh, we had so many years losing to Ohio State, but you lose to Ohio State, but look at what you're building this year. You know, you're leaving these kids that are leaving freshmen, for the freshmen and the sophomores coming in, and all the juniors for next year. They have this in place. They see this taste of victory, this taste of success, and what it takes to it. And that's just going to continue bringing sustained winning and for your program in Michigan, and anyone, all the recruiting from the high school areas around Ohio, Michigan, you know, Detroit areas, in all the different areas in Illinois. You know, they're going to see now there's, you know, oh wow, this program in Michigan, not only we have a reputation with a Harbaugh, but now we're seeing results on the floor. So it'll be interesting to see. After this is over, I'm interested to see your recruiting class. This upcoming National Intent Day, when they sign their letters of intent, to see how Harbaugh is going to recruit, and the amount of players, and from what region of the country is Harbaugh and his company is going to be recruiting their players. That's going to be interesting after this win.
I'm so glad you said that, because I do want to do a video, like you said, about the college football playoff, whether it's tomorrow or Monday. You know, I'd like to do something. But the recruiting is, I think, what changed. Harbaugh changed his recruiting, and I think that's what changed the fortunes of this team. Because, for example, what Ryan Day does at Ohio State, he gets all these guys from California, from Texas, Oklahoma, and they come here, and – I mean, yeah, they're here to get to the NFL. They're not here to play for their home city, their state, for the university pride. They're there for themselves, to better themselves, to give themselves a chance. Harbaugh's went around and gotten a lot of Ohio, because Michigan and Ohio are so close. They got a lot of Ohio guys, but are Michigan fans. They got Hutchinson, dad played for Michigan. They got Michigan-born and bred people. You know, grown men or young men that are Michigan through and through. And you're seeing when when they're down and out and when it's supposed to be a bad year, just the pride and the pride that these guys play with, the dignity, the respect for the Michigan Wolverines, the respect for themselves, their teammates, and they're just – I feel like they're so much just a tight-knit team. And instead of just focusing on talent – they're all talented, but instead of just focusing on five stars with talent and all that, they've seemed to focus on guys that are chemistry, locker room guys that can make it, that can make all the plays as well. And that's a big change from Jim Harbaugh, and I'm so happy about it. And I can't wait for tomorrow. I can't wait to figure out who we're playing. If it's Cincinnati or if it's Georgia or Alabama or maybe a wild card. Like you said, you never know until it's over, but we'll see. I'm very excited, Kev, Jim Harbaugh, thank you. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry I doubted you. I will never doubt you again.
Until next year.
Don't do that. But any last thoughts before we wrap this up? I know it's getting late in the day
I would just want to elaborate on that, because now with the recruiting, you know, those regions that we're talking about, those kids are born and bred playing high school football. And you know, you go to those states and those areas that high school football is king, like here, like down here in the South in Florida. That's all it is. High school football is phenomenal. They teach these kids at young age from Pee Wee football. And if they bring, you know, Michigan is have, you know, you see a Michigan on the national title game or in the playoffs, kids are like, wow, I want to play it on there. I want to be seen on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, whichever day they choose to play this playoff game. And if they win, oh, wow, that national title game on that Monday night, you know, kids see that, young kids, recruiters, and they say, you know what, you know, they have something established there. I could go in there for a year, and in 2 years I could be here, and they're not going to be that far removed. And they identify, and that's why it will help recruiting. And with that said, I'm thankful, you know, that they're putting their name back on the map, and kids will want to go there and would like to go. And I think, you know, Michigan is a reputable school. You know, you're known first for the Fab Five, for the basketball, you know, and also now the football, you know. So academically, if you know, if you want to play team sport and you want to get a scholarship and you have talent, and Michigan comes on your radar, you're gonna listen.
Plus the Jordan brand. I mean, the uniforms are endorsed by Michael Jordan. That's big for kids coming out of high school. Just the whole aura around Harbaugh was always, like you said, mystique around the university, most winningest program in college football history. But Harbaugh always had that big name and able to recruit, but now he's got the wins and the success to back it up. Like, I can do this. You know, we can do this. Yeah, and just wow. Wow.
Not only that, you also have the, you know, of course, the greatest quarterback in NFL history, arguably, came out of that college. We already know Mr. Tom Brady. You also have, you know,
Jim Harbaugh.
Didn't go to the school, but is a fan of Jerry Jeter. You know, yep. Jeter's a big fan, and he's from Kalamazoo, Michigan. You know, and also, you know, he supports financially as a booster. I believe he's a booster on the Michigan program, and those kind of things help.
Yep. I'm sure he'd take a recruiting trip if he had to land a five-star recruit. I'm sure Harbaugh would take him if he would go if he needed to.
Oh, you put it this way. Michigan went to the Vatican, to Italy, to hold spring practice. Mm-hmm. Tell me if they don't have power and juice, Michigan does. You know, and to pay and get them there. So them getting on this national step, proving that they could win on this level, it just helps that whole program elevate them to another level. And salute to them. Salute for them. And I think we could obviously say with a lot of pride, we could actually put the banner up. And there we go.
Hell!
With a lot of pride. Yes, indeed.
Yes.
So, Michigan fans.
Yes.
That's for you guys. That's for your pride. That's for your team. And no one could take away the Big Ten championship to you folks. Congratulations. And once again, my salute to you. I take my hat off to you guys. I enjoyed the games there, and we're looking forward. Hopefully, we'll be part of the continue on with the BCS playoff. We'll keep an eye on that, and we'll keep watching it, and come back here and give you our 2 cents with it. And thank you for listening, allowing me to be part and talk about your team.
Yeah, because it's course. Been fun. Of course, I you know, you've been there since day one. We've been there since day one for each other in this YouTube thing. So you're always going to support me. I'm always going to support you, and I really appreciate it, man. And as far as these, I think we're going to end it here. But it's just to say this: Go Blue! Hail to the victors! It's a great day to be a Michigan Wolverine. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Like and comment, subscribe, tap the bell, share this video. And then as soon as you're done with that, go to Bronx Sports Jedi Network, share his videos, like and subscribe, and go Blue!